You're listening to the Kingdom Culture Church podcast. To connect with us, hop on social media or go to kingdomculturechurch.com.au.
So good. Good morning. How are we doing? Oh, so good. How do you do these things, guys, when you get up here every week? Like, I've literally got it on the camera right now. Maybe you should smile. I'll get one for the memes. You're looking good, Pastor Rob. I'll get another. That wasn't planned, by the way. How do you... 1 second. Everyone just talk to someone next. All right, we're good. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. How are we doing? So good. So good. Look, what an exciting time we live in. Hey, what an exciting time. Oh, so good. Who got wrecked in worship? Who got wrecked by baptisms? Who got wrecked by video news? Come on. So good. So good. Wrecked. Yeah, I'm truly so thankful. I'm so thankful to be a part of this journey of where God's taken us. Hey, like God has been touching our hearts, and it feels like it's getting like we would have said the same thing last year, but it feels like it's getting more exciting, and it's like the heart's starting to beat faster, and like the people that are joining, and it's just awesome. It's just awesome. I would encourage you. Let's not be apathetic in this season. Let's engage and let's celebrate. And because if we don't see the little things God is doing now, we'll miss the big thing when it comes. We'll miss the big thing when it comes. See, we might be just doing a little a minefield series, and I didn't even know what that was a little while ago. But like if we miss what God is speaking, we'll. Right here and now, we'll miss it down the track when God's doing what we see as big things. We'll miss it. So I would encourage you. Let's not be apathetic. Let's engage with the word. Let's engage every day with what God is doing. Let's steward the little things in our lives. So awesome. Well, good morning again. So I'm Jono. I might be better known to some of you as Scout's dad. It's getting ridiculous. I was meeting new people the other day. I said, I'm Jono. Oh, Scout's dad. Like, that's not fair. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Maddie. We're married for five and a half years. And that's been fun. That's been good. I would encourage that as well. We live in Kalanga. Just a little shout out to Kalanga. If you're not sure where to live around here, Kalanga's a good spot. You can talk to Brad after the service. So good. Well, awesome. So this morning, we're talking on holiness. And so we're in the second week of the Minefield series. And on the what's it called? The PSO, PSC, PCO, that. So I press my little app. It says, oh yeah, I'm on 20th of June, Mindful Series. Oh, cool. That's good. I should be good. I'll be able to preach on the Holy Spirit. That'll work for Mindful Series. I text Rob a couple of weeks ago, holiness. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I'll have to do some study for that. And so what do you do when you ask to preach on holiness? And I think a graphic's going to come up right now. Terry, you would type very, very aggressively into Google, what does the Bible say about holiness? And this is Pastor Kimmy's favorite website, 100 Bible verses about anything, but this one's holiness. And so you can go through a few here. Yep. So that's where you would start first. And then secondly, you would you'll start thinking, well, what does holiness look like? And I started searching about, well, what do monks look like? And I'm not sure what century this is from. It's not 21st century. It's not holiness in the 21st century. But it's holiness in a century. And then going on, I was thinking about, well, what does holiness look like in the 21st century? Right. And I think another graphic is going to come up. Yeah. 21st century monk. I've got a mullet, got some good tats, and we got a good ta. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, Brad. Oh, sorry, 10 more seconds. All right. Yeah, we can get him off. Cool. Awesome. So if we went back a few more centuries, we would find ourselves in the desert, in the book of Leviticus, and this is where where God has just brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, and Moses has been up and down the mountain a few times, and he's giving them instructions about the way of living, and he's giving instructions particularly about particularly to the priests about all the different things they need to cover every day and as a guideline and there's a verse in here and it pops out in Leviticus 20 verse 26 and it says, "You shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." I'm gonna read it again. It says, Leviticus 20, verse 26, you shall be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. See, this is part of the divine plan all along. Like, when he made man in the beginning, he was making a people for himself. He was making a people for himself. He said, well, let's make man in our own image. And God loved fellowship with Adam and with Eve. And obviously, we come along and sin gets in amongst there. But God still has a plan. And his plans all along has been, you shall be holy to me. For I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the peoples. See, he's after a separated people. He's after a people that like... The plan all along was that we would be one with him, that we would have perfect relationship. It wasn't such that we could have an awesome church service and that we could get touched by the worship and feel good and go through our weeks. It was so that he could have a people separated for his own. Like, you're his jealous prize. You're his jealous prize. The whole plan all along was for you. The whole plan all along was for me, such that I could come into relationship with the Father, such that there would be no separation. See, we dabble in a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of this, but God wants a people solely after him. He wants a people solely after him. See, like the very we've been made in such a way that the very fabric of our being needs him, needs it, and more than that, It's that we wouldn't have anything in between. It's that we wouldn't be dabbling in this and that. It's that we'd be totally separate for him. So good. See, we can read right through the Old Testament of how when... Hey, Jax. we can read right through the Old Testament of where the fruit of holiness is that the people were blessed. It's that there was favor. There was times of celebration and harvest. But then we can also read the adverse is in that when people sinned, that people didn't hear from God. There was war and there was famine. See, we were literally made to come in to the holiness of God. We were literally made for holiness. Like it's not just a label. It's not just a title. We put on a person who does this, this, and this. It's something that we come into. It is what we are to be defined as. We are the holy people of God. It says again in Leviticus 20 verse 6, "You shall be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, separated, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." See, awesome, so good. So in the Old Testament, I got my Strong's Concordance out. No, I didn't really, but I had a look on. You know, I got a good app, and you press the word, and it says gives you the strong meaning, the Strong's meaning. So the meaning of the original word that was used. So for holiness is defined as sacred. It's defined as sacred. It's defined as that's it, sacred. See. Holiness is more than just a good behavior. It's more than even like a checklist that we have to do. It's how we were made. Like your consciousness, it literally tells you, no, you shouldn't do that. Like you're literally designed in a way such that we would honor and that we would honor the living God. So we come to this place. Well, then, I'm made to be holy. I'm made to live in perfect relationship with God. And we know that we cannot attain to that on our own. We know that we needed someone to bring us into that place. And we have the Old Testament where God's defining how he's incompatible with sin, and that you can't be holy and you can't come into relationship with me with sin. And that's where we have the beautiful work of the cross, in that we've been brought into the right relationship, and Jesus has single-handedly won it all. Like it's not something that we have to fight for anymore. It's not something that we have to muster in and build up a whole heap of work to check off a tick list. It's holiness is something we step in by His grace, by what He has done and what He alone has done. See, it says we've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. All that condemnation that we carry, all that guilt that we carry day to day, we've been set free. We've been set free. And I would ask, and then, you know, it's not a difficult thing to enter into. It's simply a matter of us saying yes to Him. Yes to Him. I was talking to Harley this week, and we have a conversation. Why do we struggle with this? And why do we struggle with that? Maybe it's just because we're not saying yes. Like his word says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. But maybe it's just because we haven't been saying yes. We all know when we try and do this thing in our own strength, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And we also know the truth that Jesus has won it all. Then what's our response in it? Our response is that we would simply say yes. And like he's made it so simple. He said, I'm knocking at the door. I'm knocking at the door. Will you just open? Will you just open? Will you just open? And that's it. That's the invitation again today. That's the invitation that's always been. That we would simply open the door. That we would simply open the door and say yes. We'd say yes to Him. And then, so that's all good. We've come to this place where we've been washed clean by the blood. We've come to this place where, yes, I'm holy. That's my identity. I'm holy. But then how do we outwork that? How do we outwork that? And I would say that you can't decide for tomorrow that you're going to be holy and you're going to live right, and that you're going to do this and that. But I would say you can choose today. You can choose in this moment to say yes. You don't have the strength for tomorrow. There is grace for today. You can say yes in this moment. We can't say tomorrow I'm gonna fix my eyes on him. We say I'm gonna fix my eyes on him now, and I pray that I'm gonna have strength tomorrow when it comes. I'm gonna have strength tomorrow when that situation arises. When there's gonna be some testing. Oh, so good. Are we happy? Yes. Happy with that? Awesome. Well, we're gonna open up a bit of the New Testament. Nice. And we'll go from there. So. Pause number four. I don't know how you time it well, so just follow what Rob does. So good. So, verse number one. Matthew 5, verse 21. And in this passage, Jesus is on the mountain, and he's this is known as the Sermon on the Mount, and he's gone through Beatitudes and a few different things, and it comes down here to in chapter 5, and Jesus talks about a higher standard. He says in verse 21, it says, "You have heard that it was said, but I tell you," and it goes through a few of them. It goes through anger, it goes through lust. He goes through divorce. He goes through retaliation. And he describes that because, I'll step back a second. The people of Israel have been living under so many laws. They've been living. You cannot do this. You can do this. You can't eat this. So many laws. And Jesus comes in here and he says, "Well, I'm going to give you even a higher standard." He says, the law says you cannot murder, but I tell you that calling even your brother a fool will end you in hell." And it says about lust. He says you can't even commit adultery. The law says you can't commit adultery, but I say even looking at another woman. Wow. It says about divorce. It says make sure you give her. The law says, make sure you give her a certificate of divorce. But Jesus says, no divorce. Like there's a higher standard here. It says about retaliation. He says an eye for an eye. But he says, turn the other cheek. He says, turn the other cheek. See, there is an invitation to something higher, to something greater. And I think, like, even in our day to day, and we know the word, and we say, and we thank the Lord for His grace every day. But we come to this place. Well, as long as I didn't do that, I'm probably okay. Or look, I didn't say anything. It's probably all right. But Jesus calls out a higher standard, and that's because He's after our heart. That he's not after the outward appearance. He's after what's going on in that heart. What are you meditating on? He's after what are you meditating on Monday to Friday? What are you thinking about at work he's after a people that are so connected to him. See, holiness is not just a label given to Christians. It's an invitation to relationship. It's an invitation to safety. It's an invitation to express who God is to the world. See, look, he cuts straight to the point. He cuts straight to the point. He says, straight to the heart of the matter. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. And I love this because it's so applicable to our everyday, in that we so often get caught up in how we look to others, and we so often get caught up in well I looked good at church. I preached a good message. I dressed okay. Like, everyone was pretty happy. But God is so after that heart, hey? Like, I don't think we like, this needs to be something we steward day to day. Like, we need to be people that steward the meditation of our heart and the meditation of our mind. See, like, initial thoughts might come in, and that begins, and often that we say, oh, well, I was thinking about that. But I would say it's what you choose to meditate. You don't have to choose that initial thought. You don't have to choose that initial feeling. Like, we are defined by what we choose day, like, every day. We are not defined by that first thing that comes into our mind. We're defined by what we choose day in, day out. So good. The anointing is coming. Awesome. All right, second verse. Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Wow, that's beautiful. Hey, that's beautiful. I'll read it again. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. See, we get the opportunity to give something in this life that we won't get to in eternity. And that is the laying down of our bodies. That's the laying down of our ideas. That's the laying down of being right all the time. That's laying down of, well, letting that person go in front of me at the checkout or when we're driving. Imagine that. That's the ability that's the gift we get to give God in this lifetime. That our lives are no longer our own. That we've been called to lay our lives down for the world and to lay our lives down for those around us. See, we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are called to reach those that otherwise cannot be reached. We are His hands and feet. We are called to show something that the world doesn't have. Hey, like the world's happy. If you give me a present, I'll give you a present. Everyone's happy. Like, but what happens when we give something that someone can't give us? What happens when we lay down our time, when we lay down our energy to give someone something that they otherwise can't get themselves, that they can't repay us? Like, that's so beautiful that we have the opportunity in this lifetime to be able to give God a gift that we won't be able to give in eternity. Like, it's cool. Awesome. Verse number 3. In Romans 12, verse 2, we go on. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And We were talking about this last week at Growth Track. We're talking about the renewal of the mind, and we're talking about a few other things. But, like, the renewal of the mind, like, it's so important. Like, what we feed ourselves comes out every day. Like, what we meditate on, it'll come out in your actions in your workplace. What you think on when you're alone will come out in your relationships with your closest people. Like, if you're thinking tomorrow that work's going to be bad or work's going to be average, like, it's very likely that tomorrow will not be a good day at work. And I was thinking about this recently, and I was stressed on a few things, and there was lots going on. I'm like, oh, tomorrow's going to be so bad. Tomorrow's going to be so bad. There's so many things I've got to do, not enough time. And the Holy Spirit challenged me. He said, If you think like that, well, there's no other opportunity for me to step in. But when we begin to meditate on on things that are above, on things that aren't exactly as they seem right now. That gives an opportunity and a space for God to come in, for the Holy Spirit to come in. When we practice, if we could steward this thing, our lives would change. It says by the renewal of your mind, be transformed. If you want to transform your life, I would say it would start here. It would start here, but not stay here. But it has to start here. Not every thought that comes into your head, you have to think on. When a thought comes against you, when that word comes against you, you don't have to stay in that place. You don't have to stay with that thought attacking you. You can say, no, I'm actually going to choose this. Awesome. We happy? We're good. All right. Verse number 4. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a man keep his way pure? By guarding it to your word. I was concentrated on getting a drink. This is tripping me up. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By guarding it according to your word. See, if we are not in the word, if we are not praying, this Christian walk will be so annoying. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. We are made to be connected to the source. We are made to be connected to the source. We are made to be constantly refined by His word, by His living word. Not just on a Sunday hearing the message, not just on a Tuesday listening to a podcast. We need to be diving deep into the word. We need to be, God, can you talk to me again today? Lord, I lay my heart bare that you would speak to me this morning. Like let's not be a people that are lazy with a book that so many people have died for. Let's not be lazy with something that can be so easily accessible in our day-to-day. Like, let's let God speak to us every day. Like, let's be a people that if we're known for one thing, that we encounter God every morning. That we encounter God every morning. And I believe that that's such a big key. And we've set apart this year as room makers and making room for God in our days. And I would encourage you, have a checkup. How's that going? How's that going? Like, this walk won't work unless we are connected to the source. Awesome. Could you join me? So good. So what's the point? What's the point of holiness? What's the point of holiness? And I believe I've touched on it a little bit. But holiness is not simply unto itself. Jesus didn't just go to the cross so that we could be holy for the sake of it. Holiness is not the end goal. But it is an invitation for us to step into. It is an invitation saying, the God opens himself and says, come in. Come in. Come in. Come into my safety. So often we get tripped up because we're outside of his safety. And we're outside of his safety because we haven't stepped in to what he's called us to. We're playing games. We're playing church. In Colossians 3, verse 3, it says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life and now your true life is hidden in Christ. Wow. Sometimes we are looking for something revolutionary, when really what we need is consistency. Lord, we thank you. I would just invite you just to raise your hands just for a moment. See, God's gonna pour himself out in this place this morning, because he said he would. Oh. Lord, we know that you alone are holy. Lord, and we thank you that you've invited us in here. You've invited us into this place. You've invited us into this place. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, I got 3 points in finishing. We know holiness is not unto itself. Holiness is one, an invitation to fellowship with God. To fellowship with God. See, and that is how that's what we were made. That's why we were made. See, God is incompatible with sin, but he made a way such that we could enter in to this realm, to this safety of holiness. Two, this is for our freedom and for our safety. This is for our freedom and our safety. It says we've been freed from sin. But if we're not attached to something, we'll go back there. If we're not attached to the living word, we'll go back there. Thank you, God, for your safety. And three, this is for the sake of the world. This is for the sake of the world. We are to look different. We are to look different. We're not living for the same thing. We're not living for the same thing. We've been freed from living for ourselves. We've been freed from living for the paycheck at the end of the week. We've been freed from living for our own desires. I would invite you to stand.